Are we ready?
We're started.
Oh, we've started. Okay, fair enough. Everybody, welcome to the Radical Center. My name is Jonathan Langley.
And I'm Jackie Nowak. Welcome.
And I always forget to say this. So I wrote it down this time. We're broadcasting from the Radical Center studios in beautiful, sunny downtown Austin, Texas, because forever I used to say that. Remember?
I do remember.
And then I just got out of the habit of saying it. So,
well, maybe it wasn't so beautiful and sunny. Now
well, that's true.
Back to a beautiful, sunny
it
day.
It is a beautiful, sunny day in beautiful, sunny downtown Austin, Texas. Now, I did... I have a whole list of things. We have Sean Connery, You're Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. I do want to do emails, obviously COVID, Election Day, sanity.
And I want sanity? Will you think it'll be there?
No, meaning for the people who are voting.
Okay.
And then I want to get your view on that. And then principled conservatism, I want you to think about what that means. The reason that came up is I got an email. So I want to do some emails. But before we do any of that, how are you doing?
I'm good. Yeah, it was... good. It was a good week. I'm trying to think of so much.
I know.
I can't even remember.
So you voted a long time ago. I know your family voted.
Right.
Is,
and none of us are lollygagging. Nobody's waiting until the last day. I'm kind of curious to see if,
what happens
on election day, mm-hmm. how many people actually hit the polls.
Well, we've already gone over a record in Texas. Right.
I know.
I don't know what that means, but we've already gone over it.
Well, it means that more people have early voted this year than they voted entirely 4 years ago.
Right. That's right. But the question is, does it mean anything? What does it mean in the
result? For the candidates.
Yeah, for the
there
candidates.
There we go. These are the questions.
So before we get your good, the bad, and the ugly, which we usually do at the top, and I do want to get to emails this week because we haven't done it for ages. I got some hate emails. And one of our
why that cracks me up.
One of our favorites is back.
Okay.
All in caps. You know, he's yelling at
so
me.
That's so funny. Why are you listening if they hate you? Because I'm assuming they don't hate me.
See, that's a great point. Why do they listen if they don't like us? I don't know.
Lack of
self-esteem?
No. I meant the other podcasts.
They feel,
I don't know.
They feel
there's
sorry
something
for
familiar
us?
About this.
Maybe. So I do want to talk about Sean Connery.
Okay.
Sir Sean.
Yeah.
I was too young to go to the very early James Bond movies when they came out,
mm-hmm.
which was obviously Goldfinger, From Russia with Love, Dr. No, and all those. But when I was older, because my dad was a fan of Bond,
mm-hmm.
they took me to like double headers, like two movies. They were the movie, the local theater would show. I remember once going to see Dr. No from Russia with Love back to back.
Right. It was double features.
Double features. They'd already been out like 5 or 8 years,
mm-hmm.
but I was old enough to go and see them. And, of course, to me, therefore, people my generation, Sean Connery is the epitome of cool and the epitome of James Bond.
Note that he passed away yesterday.
Well, that's why I brought it up. Do you think I brought it up?
I know, but you didn't say it.
Oh, okay.
That's
sorry.
What I'm saying.
Okay.
So if somebody's listening, they may not be aware he just passed
Did
away
you,
yesterday. And I think he was 90.
In 90, he's in the Bahamas.
90.
If I can make it to 90 and die in my sleep, mm-hmm. which is what happened with him.
That's the way to
do
it.
That's the way to do it. What was your first name? Do you remember? Boys, I think, were more fans of secret agents and all that than girls.
I never have been a big Bond
Really?
Person. Yeah. It's not my kind of movie.
Okay.
But there have been some good Bond, James Bonds.
So who's Bond now? Craig.
Yes, Daniel Craig.
Daniel Craig.
Yeah, he's a good Bond.
He's a good Bond. So I just want to say a shout out to Sean. Mm-hmm. Big influence on me as a kid, 10 years old.
Yeah.
And when
you were 10 and your parents took you to see James Bond, they were a little risque, weren't they?
Actually, now I'm thinking about it. It must have been older.
Okay.
Because they wouldn't have let me go.
That they were like a little edgy for their
day. They were.
Day.
I don't think maybe 11 or 12.
Lots of scantily clad women.
Yeah. But when you're that
bikinis.
Age, it doesn't mean anything. It's like, I hadn't gone through puberty at that point.
Okay.
No, I didn't care. It's like, can we just get on with the action now, please?
Yeah, you want all some more
kissing,
things to blow up.
All this kissing, that's so nauseating.
It just kills the plot.
It does. So anyway, shout out to Sean Connery. Again, big influence on me. And for you, he was just...
No, very charming, handsome man.
Right.
But I remember him more for the other films, like Hunt for Red October and the Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yes, he played.
And that was a little bit more when I came into, you know, the scene.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I just want to say thank you to Sean for giving me some great times at the movies. All right. Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. Do you have a list this week?
I do. In fact, we're going to do it in reverse order like you suggested. I think it's
appropriate.
Yeah, okay. You said it's kind of, you know, you start with the good, but then you forget all about the good because the bad and the ugly just get worse. So we're going to do reverse order today just to shake things up a little bit.
All right, okay. Go ahead.
Okay, my ugly, I wonder, I mean, this just happened, so I'm assuming you may have heard about it.
Mm-hmm. I think I know what it's going to be. Let me see. I'll see if I was right. Go ahead.
Okay, so there was somewhat of a Trump caravan, perhaps, a Trump parade, a string of Trump supporters in their pickup trucks in Texas over the weekend. Gosh, could it have just happened yesterday?
I think it was yesterday. I know what you mean.
Anyway, and they were parked along the highway between Austin and San Antonio, and they were parked literally on the highway, which I wasn't expecting to see that when I looked it up. But
I didn't
when
know that.
A Biden bus passed by, they all went into action and they surrounded the Biden bus.
It's despicable.
On the highway and slowed them down to like 20 miles an hour. One of the trucks sideswiped the van, but the people inside had to call 911 because they were really nervous that the entire bus was surrounded by huge pickup trucks that had not just Trump flags on it, but one of the pickup trucks literally had like been wrapped, you know, in Donald Trump.
Paraphernalia.
There you go. That's as good as word as I can figure out.
Propaganda. Anyway, propaganda.
Yeah. And so they were running the bus off the road.
That's just despicable.
Literally, the Biden team, it canceled the event that was planned for Pflugerville outside
of Austin. Biden wasn't coming.
No, he wasn't coming. Kamala was in Texas, but I don't know that she was planning to come to this leg of things. It was just other Democratic officials on the bus and going places. And the Trump supporters, and this is the part that's bizarre, they filmed it. They put it to music. They put it to a
song
called Red Kingdom is what it – I'm looking at my notes. But that's what it sounds like they're singing in the – it was kind of like a rap, Red Kingdom. Anyway, they put it to music, put it out on Twitter. Our president,
This is the worst part.
Retweets it and says, "I love Texas."
It's just despicable.
Like he
just
is supporting
people
terrorism.
So I have friends of mine. This is the whole thing, right? So I have friends of mine who can't vote for Trump or Biden because they quote law and order. It's all about law and order.
Right.
The cities are burning, and yet I think it's like 500 ex Department of Homeland Security people have come out and signed a letter saying Donald Trump's a threat to national security. I think, was it 5 or 10 ex-generals have said the same thing? And then I think 10 or 20 Republican Homeland Security people came out and said, Trump's a threat to national security. I don't know what more you need when the man's... So
giving this a thumbs up.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, you're going to hold up a bus or you're going to sideswipe a bus or you're going to like terrorize the individuals on this
so
bus.
So what happened to this? I may not agree with you, but I'll defend to the death the right to you to say it. I mean, isn't that what people believe in this country? I may not agree with you, but I'll defend to the death your right to say it. Apparently not if you work for Donald Trump. That's awful. That is despicable.
That is really
By the
ugly,
way, that's the worst. It's ugly. And not only that, I'm glad it happened in a way because election day is on Tuesday. And if you are undecided, this should be a reason not to vote for Donald Trump.
Right. Now, but then again, if you're undecided at this point.
Yeah, where have you been?
Where have you been?
That's
but
right.
I could see that if you're a Republican and you were just leaning towards Republican because they've
that's what
been
I'm talking about.
Suggesting
yeah.
Judges, anyway.
Who gives a shit about judges?
I think it affects my life a little bit less.
How does that make my life better?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay,
so that is really sad, really pathetic.
And really ugly.
And
so now we're going to go backtrack to the bad.
Oh,
and
that
this
could be bad,
again, was a police shooting in Philadelphia. of, now normally it's an unarmed black man, but it was an armed black man. Mm-hmm. He has mental health issues, and his family is the one who called police. And it was a young 27-year-old man named Walter Wallace, mm-hmm. and he was holding a knife. His family called and said, "We need help. Their son was having mm-hmm. an episode." Mm-hmm. And obviously, they didn't want him to die. They called an ambulance. Oh. But when you say, "My son has a knife," mm-hmm. the ambulance guys can't,
no.
or women, they're mm-hmm. not going to handle that. So the police come. And here's the rub. This happened in Philadelphia.
Uh-huh.
They told him to drop the knife. The police, actually, you can see them in camera footage, they backed off. But when he came towards them, they shot and killed him.
Mm-hmm.
But they shot 14 times. I don't understand. It was two policemen. I don't understand why you can't just take out a kneecap.
Especially
why can't you shoot him in the leg?
Especially if he's got a knife,
and
not
then,
a gun.
Exactly. And then if that doesn't stop him,
then
shoot him again.
Right.
But it's such a huge amount of force.
It's overkill. There's no going back.
I know. But they don't carry tasers in Philadelphia. They said due to budget cuts. I think tasers also have a lot of issues, like sometimes they work, sometimes they don't.
Yeah, if your life's depending
on
it.
Even the family says, look, we don't want these police officers held for murder.
Mm-hmm.
This was excessive force. They seem to be empathetic to that fact, but to shoot 14 times, they didn't even understand that. And to watch your son be murdered in front of them. Well, the city of Philadelphia exploded with protests and rioting and looting. And the problem is we don't have something between the two, between shooting somebody and killing them and doing nothing. We've got to figure this out.
It's what I read, I haven't read this case, but I didn't realize he had a knife, but It all comes down to police training. A lot of it is police training.
It is training. I'm also trying to figure out, weren't like rubber bullets a thing for a while?
I guess for crowds, though, not for an individual.
But
I think for
if I pelted somebody with 14 rubber bullets, would that do anything to them, or is that not going to stop
them? No, it can kill them. I mean, it can hit you in the head. It can certainly take out an eye.
I just feel like we've got to come up as a country, as a society, with something less lethal.
Were the police that shot him, were they white? Or were they...
I think they were white.
Okay.
From what I'm remembering.
We have to do something, but it's got to be training. It's got to be...
Yeah.
I don't know what... I don't think there's a magic wand here. This takes work. There's no easy answer.
No. And tasers do seem like part of the solution, mm-hmm. but their lack of consistency...
Yeah.
is a problem.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to know.
Okay, you've depressed me now.
Somebody.
We've depressed
me
now. Can you give me a good, please?
Yes. So
God,
instead.
I'm depressed. I want to slip my wrist.
Jonathan.
Yes.
The election is in 2 more days.
Oh,
and
God.
And historic voting. 91 million people have voted.
I won't be
early.
Here, thank God. I'll be in a desert. I'm hiding. I'm serious. As you well know, I'm going to the desert.
This is true.
I'm digging a bunker. So that's the good. I mean, this is what...
I know. I wish it was something a little bit more... But we've been building up for this for 4 years.
It's ridiculous how long elections take in this country.
I know.
And everybody
we have
else
discussed
is,
that already.
Everybody else, it takes like 6 weeks or a month. Here, it mm-hmm. takes 6 years.
I would be in for changing that, to be perfectly honest.
What do you think about this, that once the election's over, the incumbent sits around for another 10 weeks? What do you think of that? That doesn't even...
It can be scary.
Why does that even happen?
If the incumbent decides to disrupt
things... Yeah, which probably will in this case.
Yeah. I don't know why that transition of power is so long.
I looked it up because it used to be longer.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, maybe if you back in the olden days, if you lived in Indiana and you won the election, you have a... long horse ride.
And you you didn't know the
election
won. Right, exactly. So that's why I think it comes. But in this day and age, I don't think there should be a transition of 10 weeks. It should be like, at the most,
10 days.
48 hours.
Oh,
I mean, how hard is it? Every other democracy does it. The guy loses, you're out. That's it.
Okay.
Gone.
Unaware.
Okay, so that is good news. It's almost like, you know what that is? The election being actually happening on Tuesday is like... someone hitting you over the head ever so slightly for hours on end with a hammer. They're not banging you hard. They're just tapping it, you know, tap, 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 tap. But eventually over time it just builds up.
Yeah.
And then when they stop, you're like, thank God for that.
Yeah. That's and well, like. While we're talking about that, before you get on to your emails, which I know you have plenty.
I'm dying so we to do might
I know. I do want to say that wow, what's gonna happen if Texas goes blue?
God.
So in all of the polling,
what is it
Texas,
now?
It's completely a toss-up.
Mm-hmm.
Now, maybe I'm like a little bit jaded.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I
me
think
too.
It's going to stay red.
I do too.
I think it's going to stay red.
But here's the
thing. Yeah, it's ahead. Close.
Well, here's the part. I was talking to someone else about this during the week. It's close enough that John Cornyn mm-hmm. is running ads.
It's yes.
close enough that
we're seeing political ads for the first time in decades.
Yes, that Texas could go, as we know. And the question is, will they take this to heart? This is a rhetorical question. I already mm-hmm. know the answer. Even if Texas goes red and stays red and it's by a margin, very tiny amount, and Cornyn wins by a slight amount, will that change their behavior?
No.
And the answer is no.
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 But I do have a prediction if it goes blue. You want to hear it?
Yes, absolutely. What is it?
Okay. Here's my prediction. You can hold me to it. Isn't that what Lindsey Graham said?
Yes. He did. He did say that.
This is just a prediction.
Okay.
I have a feeling that if Texas goes blue, mm-hmm. it's never going. I mean, there's no chance that people think it'll go red the next time, right? I think once it goes blue, it's probably going to stay blue for decades.
Well, I hope you're right.
This is my thinking. I could be wrong. And if it goes blue, what do you think that the legislature would do about the Electoral College? I think they'd be willing to then split the electors and say, well, if it's, you know, if they're Republicans, give us a percentage. And then if it's Democrat, give us a percentage. Because up until now, nobody's willing to do that, right?
Yeah, that's right.
I think that's really the way it should be.
Of course it should be. Absolutely.
Because to even states like California, misrepresent half the half the population sucks.
It does.
It makes you feel like your vote doesn't even count. So I think proportionate electorals.
Okay.
Is the way to go.
So in the UK, they call that proportional representation as opposed to first past the post.
Mm-hmm.
So in the UK, for example, you have an MP, like you have senators and whatever here, and you could have 49% vote for one guy and he loses, and whether it's Labour, Conservative, Liberal, whatever, and the other guy wins with 51, then there's no – what they want in the UK is proportional representation. It doesn't exist. The trouble is countries that have it, they're in constant state of chaos a lot of the time because
we used to have it.
Did
it
you?
Used to be that way.
What?
Yes.
In Texas?
And what they realized, I think it could have even been before Texas was a state, to be perfectly honest.
Oh, that's good. Now you're really pushing it. You're going back 150 years.
But what they're saying is it dilutes the power of the state.
Oh.
And I think the opposite is true in a big state like New York, California, and Texas. It doesn't dilute it. Mm-hmm. It's more representative.
Yes, it is.
So if you're Wyoming or Montana, well, sure, keep all your votes. Mm. You know, the population isn't. But for a state like California
mm-hmm.
to only represent – I think it's the same with Texas and New York.
I get where you're going. I don't know that it's in anybody's. If you're a Democrat and it stays Democrat for a long time, it's not in your interest. And if you're that's the problem.
Yeah.
And so
I think that Democrats would be more willing.
Maybe. Possibly. I don't know. I'm being cynical.
Share
now.
The power.
Well.
But it could be.
Here's what you could have it where Cornyn wins.
Mm-hmm.
Chip Roy wins. But Texas still goes blue. So, in other words, the individual senators win,
right.
or congressmen win, Texas still stays goes blue as a
right.
state.
So, across the country, if Biden is elected, but all the senators stay
as is,
Republican,
yeah.
then that's going to be just in a deadlock,
right?
Because Mitch McConnell will shut it down.
Of course, he will, and I think the Democrats have to play hardball. If that's the case, they've got to play dirty. They don't know how to do it.
Well, it goes against everything we believe.
I remember I've got more of my mob emails here.
Okay, well, fill us in.
Because
but time.
The
I'm
demands
kick
for
back,
money.
Get my water, put my legs up.
No.
Tell me all about it.
I've only got a few because I do want to get to what is principled conservatism? Because that's a phrase we don't hear anymore. So someone sent me an email, a guy called SIPA, S-I-P-A. I have no idea what that means.
It could just be his first name.
Well, it's all in caps, so I don't know what SIPA means.
Okay. Well, maybe we should Google that before we say it on the air.
Okay, well. All right. It says, as we've learned, there is no such thing as principled conservatism. It's all about low taxes for the – I don't know if you agree with this. Low taxes for the wealthy, deprivation for the non-wealthy, racism, misogyny, yes. We always know what conservatives stood for, but now they – but this is – I agree with him on this part.
Okay.
I don't know if I agree with everything because that's really cynical. But he said conservatives have always stood for – we know what they stood for, but – they had a sense to cover it up with a sweeter-smelling sauce. SIPA, that's a very good phrase. At least Trump's honesty has uncovered the stench of conservatism for all to behold. That's really interesting because his point is, and I've heard Steve Schmidt say this, that which is kind of ironic given that he was part of this process, that you've got – they used to believe supposedly in character. Clearly they don't. They used to believe in a deficit and the debt were really bad. Clearly they don't. They used to believe that.
They will.
Oh, I know, right?
There was, if as a, some as other like party is
anyway,
in charge.
Yeah. I thought that was really interesting. I mean, that used to be the phrase you heard all the time: principled conservatism.
Mm-hmm.
We don't hear it anymore because there's no such thing.
Well, it's the party of Trump.
Ted Cruz would always claim to be a principled conservative.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly, he isn't.
Well, I think they learned to embrace fighting dirty.
Yeah.
And winning it. All costs.
But not about
and
the country.
And that comes at a price.
Yeah. Okay.
You can't call yourself principled, and maybe you can't even call yourself conservative.
So here's one from – I love this. This is from Harry Houdini.
Oh.
I thought he was dead. But anyway.
No, he's back.
I guess he's back. He copied – I didn't print it out, but he copied everybody. Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity,
okay.
Laura Ingraham. I guess – and it's all in caps. You guys are nothing, but he's meaning it to us. He put okay. CC'd them. You guys are nothing but left-wing Sandinistas. Trump is going to kick Sleepy Joe's bony ass. You guys are the worst thing on air.
Okay.
From Harry Houdini.
Well,
I mean, Harry. I mean, if he's coming back from the grave, he did believe in seances and everything. So,
exactly.
So, Harry, thank you so much. Now, this next one's kind of disturbing.
Uh-oh.
Because this is a guy called Ted B.,
all right.
Is that – it doesn't mean Ted Bundy, does he? When I mean, when was Ted Bundy around? Is he dead?
I think he's in prison.
Okay, so maybe he's listening to us in jail. He doesn't right. – he just says – I mean, he might be dead. Anyways, from Ted B., this one really made me laugh. Hey, your moron Biden – this is not in caps. You know your moron Biden is going to lose, L-O-S-E, all in caps, exclamation point, exclamation point. But the part that tracked me up, Ted, was – next time, please put your last name
okay.
so I won't feel bad that it's Ted Bundy. I don't know much about Ted Bundy, but
just enough. I don't think
just enough to scare me.
Yeah, exactly.
That Ted Bundy's listening to us. So, Ted, thanks for that. That made me feel really good. Okay. So this one made me laugh too. This is from Aiden. And he says, hey, Jonathan, I'm pretty left-leaning and I got tired of my echo chamber. So I guess he was... I don't know what he's listening to. He doesn't explain it. And I found your super engaging podcast. So someone, at least there's one guy that likes it.
I'm feeling so much better now.
Your reading. So this part is why I want to do the just for this the last time because the election's almost over. Your readings of the mob-like notifications from Republicans are hilarious. But he then goes on to criticize, but you've told me this, and I think I sent you this email. But please, for the love of God, can you guys do something about the introduction music?
Yes, Aiden, I have told Jonathan at least two or three times.
It's 10 times loud.
Down.
The part
Turn
that really
down.
Made me laugh, I did write back. I don't normally write back to these people. Clearly, I'm not going to write back to Ted B because I have no idea what he's doing. It's about 10 times louder than the rest of the show. And I always have to get to my laptop before it blows my eardrums out. I was laughing so over when he read this. I'm usually too late. My cats have literally jumped and bolted out of the room. It's quite a sight. Well, Aiden, I've told him in the email. I very rarely write back. But in this one, he really made me laugh. So hopefully this time.
You will make the adjustments
to the music. But that really made me laugh. Anyway, he's given me cover to talk about the mob. emails.
Thanks, Aiden.
From Aiden. But okay, so I'll be quick though. Even though I've got I've got a lot here, but I'm going to do a few of them. So this is from Donald Trump Jr., supposedly.
Well, I'm sure it is, Jonathan.
Now, I want you to pay attention to this. I'm coming at you, coming to you for a fourth and final time. And this was dated 10:31 at 3:40 p.m. in the afternoon. Okay, so pay attention. I'm coming to you for a fourth and final time. Mike Pence, Sarah Huckabee, Eric Trump, Tom Emmer, Dan, I don't know who some of these people are, Dan Crenshaw, Elise Stefanik, Steve Scalise, and Newt Gingrich. I've all right reached out to you. I'm asking you, our dedicated conservatives, to help arrange, to help get a 700% donation match. Remember, it keeps changing. So that was sent at 3:40 p.m., apparently, because all these other
people... Day before Halloween.
All these people, yes. All these people have written out to me, apparently. I don't even know half the time. I don't even know who Dan Crenshaw is. I thought he was a golfer. Anyway.
That's Ben.
Oh, that's Ben. Thank you. So at 3:40 p.m. Anyway, I get an email at 6:13 p.m. the same day from...
That was Junior.
Donald Trump Jr. No, from Donald Trump Jr. This is your fifth and final notice. So I guess it didn't mean anything that I was going to get a fourth and final, and I have a fifth and final.
Yeah.
I'm waiting for my sixth.
Well, it's got to be 10. I mean, that's just a nice even number. Come on.
This is your fifth and final notice. This is your last chance to have a six-time impact on how the story unfolds. Donate before it's too late. Then apparently I got another one from Sarah Huckabee Sanders. I love how they always say this one, though. Fellow conservative, we are out of time. But I want to give you this one did make me feel guilty. If we don't meet our goal, we lose this election, please send $10.
Yes, you really got it.
That's that $10.
I mean, yeah, because otherwise they might lose.
Here's my favorite. This is my absolute favorite.
Okay.
We've reached out to you 14 times.
You mean you missed eight of the emails?
Apparently, they've reached out to me 14 times. Mm-hmm. And we hate to beg, it says. We hate to beg.
Look what you've done to them.
Obviously, they're having a meltdown. They're having strokes. Will you? This one's kind of greedy, though. Will you please send $35? Wow.
What? 35? 20, maybe.
$35.
Outrageous. Inflation.
To stop the liberal mob.
Yeah, because Biden's apparently outspending
a liberal
Trump.
Mob.
He needs, now, this Trump one, needs money.
And apparently this $10 contribution on this other one will save the election. Apparently I'm a fellow conservative. This is the threat part. Don't prove me wrong. Oh.
I know.
Don't prove me wrong. I can't imagine what will happen if we lose the Senate majority, to Chuck Schumer and his radical cronies. You know, when you read the ones from the Democrats,
what is exactly
they're all...
the definition of a crony? Because really, they're radical. I was thinking they were radical youngsters. Maybe you could even go with that.
So, according to this one,
radical women, but cronies. That's, I don't know.
So, according to this, Joe Biden has called Trump supporters chumps. Did he?
I haven't heard it, but
according to this, he did. It must be true. Mm-hmm. The liberals hate President Trump. They hate you, and they hate everything you, all in caps, stand for.
Okay, so what I have to comment about that is how influenced, I'd like to know the statistics, how influenced are people, not just with the emails, Jonathan, but I'm talking about the television commercials. We don't usually see a lot of national political ads, but the ones that I've been seeing, both Biden and Trump, are absurd. They're absurd.
Oh, it's pathetic. They don't talk about anything that make your life better.
No, or what they're going to do. They're really negative, of course, and they talk about how, you know, quite frankly, the Trump ones, they talk about they want to take your guns, they want to open borders, they want to just all the things.
Roll back the tax cuts.
And even tax cuts, I could see how that might affect your life, but... and they want to make you wear masks. I mean,
Did you see he had a go at Laura Ingraham? Donald Trump had a go at Laura Ingraham, one of his biggest sycophants, for wearing a mask at one of Donald Trump's rallies. And he called her out for it and saying, stop being politically correct, Laura.
Well, maybe she just doesn't really want to get sick.
I don't think she wants to die, Donald. So I guess.
What they've made this, and it's really bizarre.
It is bizarre. It's funky.
I'm fighting for my freedom to decide myself what I get to do with my body.
But
yet, on something so minor, yet they're ignoring the fact that women have been fighting to decide for themselves what they get to do
about
with their
abortion,
body.
Yes.
So it's really quite an interesting
quandary.
It's
and not only that, I find it despicable that none of these, including ones from the Democrats, I'm just reading the Republican ones because they're so funny.
Yeah.
The ones from the Democrats are really polite and really boring. Please send us some money. We respect. I know. I got one from Kamala Harris, supposedly. I respectfully ask. I didn't even bother to print it out because it's like.
It was like, nah,
that's whatever. But I want to end on this one. I actually got one from Donald Trump.
Well, it's getting close. He's noticed that you haven't given him any money.
It's so funny you should say that. First thing tomorrow morning, oh, by the way, and they're asking for $45.
Well, he's the president.
That's
true. He should get a little bit more.
First thing tomorrow morning, my team will send me a list of every – by the way, I love how they always wrap themselves in the flag – will send me a list of every patriot who steps up. I'll be looking for your name on there. Will I sit? I mean, seriously, who falls for this bullshit? I mean, my God, do you honestly think that –
there's this list of people that is handed to the president every single day.
And he goes –
so he knows who gave $45.
Absolutely.
Who gave $20.
And not only that, this is an 825% match. 825%
match. Oh, that's a new record, right?
So, yeah.
Yeah, you got to make the president's numbers bigger if he's going through the trouble to write that.
Exactly, exactly. So, and the part that gets me is – they even do the calculation for you. Contribute $45, and that equals $416. So someone has done the math, and
they don't mess up like we did last week.
No, you did. I didn't. You threw me off last week with the math.
Okay. Not my strong suit.
No, clearly. Anyway, so the president apparently is going to get a letter on his desk. Today, because this was from yesterday.
With
your name
on it, Jonathan?
My name not on it.
You're on the other list.
I'm on the bad boy list.
You're on the bad list.
So, all right. So, it just cracked me up. I won't go through any of these others. I'm sort of, I'm kind of exhausted here mm-hmm. on these things. But it did. I just want to thank Aiden for backing me up. That some of these are actually quite funny. So, just think. Do you know how many I get a day? By the way.
You got on somebody's list
literally
that I just don't think
hundreds,
I could handle.
Hundreds. And I'm imagining that
and the fact
all
that
stop.
You go to the trouble to print them out, I'm impressed.
Well, I printed out a few, not all of them.
I know you don't print them
but
all.
But seriously, I will I imagine they'll magically stop after November the 3rd.
We can only hope, Jonathan.
God.
It could be that they might need more money to defend the vote, you know, if there's a contested election. So don't be surprised if they do not stop.
Well, this one made me feel guilty because we're talking about the greatest leader of the free world. Apparently Donald Trump is the greatest leader of the free world.
You know what? Here's the thing. And it is a cult of personality.
Yes.
Right? And he is...
Hitler was a cult of personality.
Exactly. There are people who are beyond fans and beyond just participants, and he's the president, that they feel some sort of serious connection
with
this man.
It's visceral. It's visceral. They feel it. Yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah, and because a lot of things that he says certainly don't connect with me.
No.
So I don't feel any kind of connection with the man.
It's kind of hard when he can't speak properly.
That doesn't help, but he's regardless of that,
right?
He's still connecting with a certain group of people, and it's a little bit mind-boggling.
It is. I totally agree with you. It's like he was in Tucson this week. Did you see? He called Tucson. He says it's great to be here in Tombstone.
Oh, Tombstone is actually like a ghost town in Arizona.
He said he was in Tucson. He said it's great to be here in Tombstone.
Oh, that's hilarious.
And did you see that he said he'd won 2 Nobel Prizes? He said that in a speech.
I did not know
because
that.
Because I know it bothers him no end that Obama won the Nobel Prize. Mm-hmm. A peace prize,
well,
right?
Well, he has been nominated.
Well, of course. Any idiot can get nominated if you've got people willing to do it. Anybody can nominate anybody. I could nominate you for something.
In fact, I think you should.
I will.
Okay.
For broadcasting excellence. But it's... I know. Do you want to hear my psychological analysis of this? So he's up there speaking. I've won two Nobel Prizes. I'm paraphrasing. Please don't write to me, Ted B. And saying, I've won two Nobel Prizes, and I forget what, I think one was peace, and I forget what the other one was, he said. Because he makes it, it's he lies all the time, we know this. And the pleasure centers of his brain, I'm sure the psychiatrist will tell me this is correct, light up when he's making himself feel good. But even he realized 5 or 10 minutes later during his speech
that he messed up,
that he can't say that. So he then said, I'm joking, of course, about the Nobel Prizes.
Well, do you think sometimes he convinces himself that these things really have already happened?
Didn't he do something? There was something that Obama did to help veterans, and he's been in 2014.
Veterans Choice.
And he's been claiming credit for it.
That was one of the things on the ad, how long the wait times were for veterans before Trump took over. And as the sister of a veteran
who
relies heavily on the VA, I've got news.
Did it work? Is it better?
Well, it's not good.
They put a lot of money. They have put more money into the VA. I know
And the money's not the only fix, but I think COVID has really set things back.
It's been hard.
It's been really hard.
So this is a great segue for me now. Okay. Which is Donald Trump, according to this other one, is the greatest leader in the free world, probably since forever.
Well, he likes to say at least, you know.
Well, maybe, Ivanka Trump agrees.
Maybe Abraham Lincoln was.
Well, Ivanka Trump agrees because she said that Donald Trump should be compared to Winston Churchill. Mm. She said this yesterday. She said that Winston Churchill said, it was the nation that had the lion's heart. I just had the luck to give it the roar. My father worked so hard every day for each of us. We now have an opportunity to fight for him. And I brought up Churchill before. Churchill's words to the British people were, I have nothing to offer but blood, sweat, toils, and tears. What is Trump's response? Don't worry, be happy.
No, Trump will...
No, it is. It is. It's going to go away. It's going to go away.
That his... He works... And he is... He does at least tweet. I mean, he is an energetic and enthusiastic president. I don't know how much work he gets done, but it does seem like he's up at the crack of dawn, out till
he's up at 3 a.m.
I know.
Because he's not, his brain isn't functioning correctly.
Okay.
No, I'm just serious. I've said this before. I don't say that lightly. He's a human being. I'm not making fun of his early onset Alzheimer's or dementia or something. I'm not belittling it one bit because that belittles other people who have it. I'm not doing any of that.
Okay.
He happens to be president of the United States. So. Right. So, but again, you don't compare him to Churchill, do you?
No.
Making me wonder now.
No.
Okay. All right.
I'm going to say no.
Okay. So, all right. That's my little list sparked by emails.
Mm-hmm.
What have you got?
Well, this is my frame of reference, right?
Mm-hmm.
The battleground states. Arizona is now a battleground state.
I'll be there on Tuesday.
And
that's where I'll be,
in
the desert.
I have mentioned I have quite a large family. I have 3 sisters in Arizona.
Yeah, there's 800
so
of you.
So this is one of the ways I'm kind of going to explain what I think, how I think the voting will go in Arizona. I have one sister, extreme Republican. She's going to vote. I'm sure she's already.
She's in Arizona.
She's in Arizona.
Okay.
This is Maricopa County. This is the battleground county.
What town is that in?
It's
or near?
The Phoenix suburbs.
Oh,
Phoenix area.
Okay.
So one sister, extreme Republican, voting Trump. One sister, Democrat, voting Biden.
In the same city?
All 3 of them.
All three
of them.
Oh, wow.
And then
the
third sister, I guarantee she's not going to vote.
Not going to vote at all?
Not going to vote at all. So this is just a little tie that I've got that makes me realize how tossed up certain areas will
be. But I don't know if that's true, though, right? Because one was going to vote Democrat no matter.
It's my sample size.
Well, one was going to vote Democrat no matter what. One was going to vote Republican no matter what. I guess what would have been interesting is what your sister that's not going to vote.
Yeah, she's not going to vote.
Does she tell you who she... Why is she not voting, as she said?
Well, she has health issues. Her husband has extreme health issues.
Okay.
They're dealing with a lot right now, but cannot stand politics.
That's a lot of people. They just don't want it.
Just doesn't want to bring it into her universe. And
I understand
it
that.
It is a soul-sucking enterprise. And she wants to be free of it.
I will say this. There's not many politicians that you look at when you see them being interviewed mm-hmm. who look like they're having a good time. Most of them look pretty miserable.
Yeah. And actually, that is a good point because
I mean, all of them.
On 60 Minutes, did you see Kamala's interview on 60 Minutes?
No, she was the only one I was going to say that seems reasonably happy.
She laughs.
Yes.
And my husband commented, he finds it unnerving and a little disturbing that
she's
trying to have this, somebody's trying to have this very serious conversation with her. And she's laughing or giggling. She doesn't come across as such a serious person. But I watched the same interview, and that's not how I saw it. Mm-hmm. And
well,
Donald Trump
keeps talking about COVID.
Yeah,
so
I found her rather
that.
Charming.
I think so. Yeah. But do you know any
– And good-natured.
Yes, that's
and
what
she actually,
good natures. That's good the
natured.
Word. Good natures the word.
She seems quite happy.
Yes.
In comparison, obviously a big part of the problem in 2016 is that Hillary didn't have
she
that
wasn't likable.
Relaxed
right.
attitude and wasn't likable.
Did you see Donald Trump said, and there's so many of these things that we're going to have to put in a book, Donald Trump said, but just his quotes. He said that, this is just week two, there's so much, he said, if you vote for Biden and he gets shot, did you see this?
No.
Well, he's going to get shot, which means you'll have Kamala Harris as president.
He's going to get shot?
He didn't say he's going to get shot. If
well,
he does
I mean,
get
if
shot.
He, well, I think it's even reasonable to say if something happens to him.
But he did say shot. He used
shot.
He said that.
That's terrible.
I know.
That's not even, can't so, you get in trouble for even saying
well,
stuff like
hey,
that?
Hey, he tweeted about the bus you were just talking about saying go Texas.
I know.
So here's the thing, I was bringing that up. So Biden is 77 and three quarters, I think.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you're six, everything is in quarters because
right.
it makes you feel older. I'm six and a half, six and a quarter. So Biden is 77 and three quarters. He'll be, well, he'll still be seven. No, maybe he won't be 70. Yeah, I think he's 77 and a quarter. Anyway, somewhere in there. So he'll be 80, assuming he makes it through 4 years, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that he's getting on a bit to do this job? I mean,
I definitely think that the type of pressure and demand, I would like to see somebody in their 50s, personally.
Yeah.
But my mother-in-law will be 91 in a couple weeks, so life is long, and it's not to say that she's useless. She's just not at her prime.
Do you think Kamala Harris, though, the reason I was asking you is, I know you like Harris, do you think that she'll have more than a typical role of a vice president?
Because I don't really see it.
I mean, she could become president. I mean, if he has a stroke,
right.
I'm just...
Yeah.
You know, clearly Donald Trump's
and
had tons
of And how old is Trump?
Him.
Is he 76 or 75?
No, he's 72 or 73.
He does seem quite a bit younger.
He is.
Yeah.
But clearly, cognitively, he tells people he's in tune. Remember, he always says he's a very stable genius.
Yes,
and don't
but,
feel
okay.
bad about my
you know,
IQ.
Just the whole tombstone thing, I think you could... How many campaign stops? It's just like even at concerts. Musicians
oh,
go,
they forget.
Hey, how's Houston tonight?
And then
they're
go,
in Austin.
Shit, I'm in, yeah.
Yeah, I just
no,
think
I get
that
it.
That's
but you know what I mean, the things that he says.
Right.
Now, I'm just – so I get back on Biden, though. Do you think – I mean, I guess it's what we don't know because we don't know, right? We mm-hmm. don't know what he's going to win. If he wins – I mean, he'll be 81 by the time he wins, assuming yeah. he wins or gets to the second term. Do you think that Harris would be a good president?
I think that the next couple years will certainly
okay.
prepare
yeah.
her
yeah.
for it. Do I think, you know, who's ready to be the president? There's not like a school you go to.
I see. Yeah, maybe there should be.
Right. So it's not like the prince where you've been groomed your whole life to become president
uh-huh.
or to be king. You know, this is... president boot camp that she's in right now.
So as we sit here today,
okay.
Trump is behind Joe Biden by 10 points.
Oh, yeah.
This is from the Wall Street Journal today.
Okay.
You know, the
mm-hmm.
Wall Street Journal, that well-known liberal newspaper.
Yep.
So it can't possibly be true. 52% to 42%. And they're also saying the battleground states are narrowing. And it's essentially unchanged. It says, this is the Wall Street Journal, so don't write to me because I'm reading a so-called liberal newspaper. In particular, women and seniors. Oh, you want to know what people say in the comments section to articles like this?
Okay.
They get really upset. Oh, you're just spewing liberal
propaganda.
It's like, good God. In particular, women.
And in their defense.
This is the Wall Street Journal I'm reading.
It's the Wall Street Journal, but wow. If you say something complimentary about the Democrats, then you're a liberal rag. And if you say something complimentary about the conservatives, then you're propaganda there too. It sucks that we don't have a trustworthy resource.
I believe the Wall Street Journal's polls.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I seriously do. It says, in particular, women and seniors have turned against the president's, both groups favoring Biden by double digits. And it says in the 12 battleground states, and I don't know if they include Texas in that now. It doesn't say.
It is. I'm telling you, Texas is a battleground state. I've got the maps right here. I'll show you.
Mr. Biden holds a six-point lead, 51 to 45, compared to a 10-point lead last month. So I think we're also frigging paranoid.
Extremely paranoid.
Well, what are you going to be?
Well, if you had seen these numbers 10 years ago, you wouldn't be nervous at all. But 4 years ago, we had an upset. So now everybody's like, hey, I won't see it till the fat lady sings.
So I explained to someone else, the polls weren't that wrong last time. The polls were actually about right. What happened was there was in some of those states where they lost by 100 or 200,000 people, there wasn't really a that was within the margin of error, in other words. And Hillary was a useless candidate. I hate to say it.
So on 538, Nate Silver of 538 said this morning on one of the shows that Trump actually has a 10% chance of winning. That's it. It means Biden's got a 90% chance of winning.
Yes, yes, yes.
But there is the 10%, right? And when you look at the election maps.
I printed them out.
Well, there were like six different maps you could print out.
Uh-huh.
Each one was for different pollsters and pollster companies. Mm-hmm. The ones that I printed out, let's see, this one predicts that Biden will have 305 electors and that Trump would have 125.
Is that right?
And this one says Trump 163 and Biden 290. It was really interesting. All of them had. Now, when I was watching the Sunday morning shows, though,
God
Texas was red.
God
Texas
bless you
was
for
red.
Doing that,
but in all of these interactive election maps, Texas was undecided. It could go either way. But
so
they
the
did have it as red on the morning shows today.
Okay, so. Yeah, I mean, listen, if you can't have – if Houston, Dallas, Austin, San Antonio vote Biden by a large margin and the rest is some of the rural areas, that's democracy in action. I get it. But I don't get then why people like Ted Cruz – and John Cornyn and others don't reach out to the cities. They're all what basically they're saying is the cities are a liberal bastion of hell and dystopian mobs burning down the house, and it's just awful and graffiti everywhere. And it's like, wait a minute, we've got 230,000 Americans dead. Isn't that more important?
Not just that's the cities, but we're trying to reach out and crush the suburbs while we're there in the cities.
Well, you live in the burbs.
Yes, I do.
Is it a scene of dystopian disorder?
I haven't quite noticed that yet.
No.
When you go to the park and you see kids playing, it's really hard to get.
I mean, and low cost housing in with people selling drugs by throwing the sneakers over the wires. So that's a sign that you can go buy drugs here. Is that happening in your neighborhood?
Not yet.
Not yet.
You know,
armed
soon
towers.
It's coming. Well, I guess Tuesday will tell us a lot if that's going to happen.
Well, I'll be in the desert, so I'll definitely reach out to you.
I know. So that's really going to mess us up.
I won't be here next week.
And election next week. We'll have 2 weeks to
digest
and germinate.
You could do the show. Do the show.
Ferment.
You could just do it. You could do it by yourself. I mean, I could send you something and you could talk about it. But I mean, I need some time to. Doesn't the whole country need time to decompress?
I don't know. You know what? I may come into the studio next Sunday.
You should.
And Evan and I will
Evan,
come in.
Evan, you and Evan can do it.
Yeah, and we'll just, I may have to, it just all depends on what happens. If chaos ensues, and then, I'm going to be here.
If there's
I'm not
armed guards
the
down
off.
The streets
and
people, you know, dystopian, you know, mobs everywhere. Did you vote, Evan? Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. I'm not going to ask. Don't worry, I'm not going to ask you to vote.
Yeah.
I mean, it's.
He was heading there last week.
Oh, that's right. That's right. That's right. So, all right. So,
all depends. I may need to, like, exercise my demons next Sunday by myself just to get it out of my system before you get back.
I won't be here. So, okay. So I want to thank people, including Ted B, whoever, as long as it's not Ted Bundy, I'm okay with it, for writing to us.
So did we have one nice one?
We had one. Some guy, okay. Aiden, said, but then he said I scared his cats.
Oh, yeah.
So we're going to have to
effect on cats.
I do. I'm not a cat guy, so what can I say? So if you want to write, I'm going to put out this email. You can write to jonathan@langley.media, jonathan@langley.media. I do read them. And feel free to...
Yeah, send the emails to Jonathan.
Send them to me.
Not a bad idea.
And, you know, I was just to say, before we go, I was very pleased last week we were talking about slightly different topics, like losing friends during this time of the of people's worries about the election and people thinking you're a... I don't know, racist if you're a Trump supporter and you're a liberal communist. What do they say they were on the letters? Radical leftist.
Liberal, yeah.
Yeah, if you're a Biden supporter.
Antifa.
Yeah, so the friends I had who got mad at me, we've kissed and made up, basically.
Oh,
so that's good.
Good.
But it shouldn't happen.
It
shouldn't happen
over,
in
Jonathan.
The first place.
It's human nature. We take this stuff very serious and very personal.
I think it's even worse if it's family.
Yeah.
Too. Like, you have a large family. I mean, it's just a shame. All right. So, I feel better now. So this is like decompressing. I'm waiting for this damn thing to be over, though.
Well, two more days. We hope you're getting out the vote, everyone. And
yes.
Have made your vote count.
Yes.
And we will see you next time on The Radical Center.
Okay. Bye-bye for now.
Bye-bye.